in this episode, we go and see ABBA Voyage, the hologramic ABBA experience that takes place in East London. And that's where we start today's episode. When the three of us met at Stratford Underground Station near London's Olympic Park area where the Olympics was. Ooh. I also have to apologise for the poor audio quality. It gets better. The stuff we recorded after the gig is recorded with proper mics and sounds fine. But the stuff beforehand, when we're just wandering around, to be honest, quite lost, trying to find the ABBA gig, sounds a bit ropey, so sorry about that.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
Hello.
We are in Seb Coe's kind of land, right? Yes. This is the land that Seb Coe imagined.
And then made.
And then made.
He manifested it.
And this is its glorious legacy, isn't it? Because it might appear to just be quite a sort of soulless stretch of sort of...
Loads of A-roads.
But actually...
There's a decent velodrome.
If you're into that sort of thing, yes.
And a strong Westfield, if you're into food courts. And high street shopping under one roof.
Yeah.
There's also what can only be described as a fucking ginormous car park.
It's decent parking, isn't it?
Really strong parking.
There you go.
Okay, so we're here to because not only did they build here a velodrome, a swimming pool, a stadium which is now used by West Ham and is widely thought of as being the worst stadium in the Premier League.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Multi-story car parks everywhere you turn.
Yeah.
And basically new built sort of high-rises built upon flyovers, upon car parks, upon sports centres, upon velodromes, upon car parks. Isn't it? It's a very modular... It feels like it was all designed by people who never actually had to tread on the actual slabs themselves.
But what was also built here, by hand, I believe, by Bjorn from ABBA, is the ABBA Arena, I think it's called.
It's true, which is where we think we're heading now. But it's the sort of place where it's hard to tell where you're heading. I haven't seen anyone... I thought we'd see hordes of people in costume.
Yeah.
I haven't seen anyone in costume.
I think we may have misjudged the cultural moments like this.
Do you think ABBA thought about the fact that to get to their ABBA experience, you'd have to walk across... What, it's like a flyover we're walking over.
We're literally walking over a flyover now. But I tell you what, if this all feels a bit soulless and a bit corporate and a bit lacking in heart, then it's... It's nice to know that, despite all that, at the end of it, we are going to a massive arena to watch a sort of multi-billion pound band put on a sort of AI-enriched avatar version of a live event. Isn't it?
So this
warms the cockles, doesn't it?
Yeah.
We're giving our tacit consent to the end of humanity as we know it.
Well,
I think.
Or certainly to the end of Swedes.
Yeah.
As we know them.
Yeah, I think the theme of this evening is kind of alienation from humanity.
Yeah, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I am drinking a piping hot Pret coffee. Just to
paint the picture.
Just to complete the picture. I can see this sort of barbed wire, there's a kind of some sort of metal shed that's either used to slaughter or to torture.
I think they'd say re-educate.
It's an ungulate re-education centre.
It's amazing how many ungulates, before they go in that shed, have never even heard of SEPCO.
Yeah, that's true.
But boys, do they know about them when they come out?
Well, they've all been reformed into leather SEPCO rucksacks, haven't they?
It's his main source of income.
That's true. Yeah, it's much more dystopian than I was expecting so far.
What was the last band you saw? I know that last year you saw Belinda Carlisle live.
I did, yeah. That was sensational, yeah.
Oh my God.
She was superb. What have I seen since? I must have seen something since then.
She did the hits, I'm hoping.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was banger upon banger. Oh, I went to see Sophie Ellis-Bextor.
Oh, wow.
Because a friend of mine who lives in Cornwall had got tickets, and he felt like a friend who was going through a difficult time. So when a friend who's going through a difficult time says, let's go and see Sophie Ellis-Bextor,
you get into Sophie Ellis-Bextor, don't they?
You say yes. She was excellent. She was a proper sort of journeyman pro.
She's a pro. She's got over the plums thing.
Well, the tour's called the tour's called the Couple of Plums Tour.
And it's a really heartfelt, angry finale to it, isn't it?
The greengrocers in support.
That's right. But the bit at the end where a massive plum descends onto the stage, doesn't it? And she sets about it with hammers, her and the whole band, and then the audience are invited to come and attack the plum with hammers as well. It's quite rousing.
We are now approaching the arena.
Yeah. See other punters as well.
Yeah.
It's on.
No one else came this way.
No.
Oh, look, there's a DLR station right next to it.
Well done, everyone. Who was in charge of the route journey? Thanks. It was actually me. We're walking through some overgrown... It's got kind of Last of Us vibes, some of this journey. It's got an overgrown cityscape as well. Sort of graffiti and tags. Deserted car park, cranes.
The DLR station seems to have an ABBA Voyage shop within it. Have they built a station specifically
for... Is it an ABBA Voyage station?
It's a public-private partnership, Mike.
Of course it is.
There's also an ABBA Voyage hospital. Primary school. Anyway, this is us signing off. We'll see you afterwards.
See you soon.
So we're just leaving the ABBA arena. We're going to walk back to Stratford the way we came through the wasteland.
That's right. But of course, we're now looking on it with fresh eyes, aren't we?
Because we've seen the future.
With opened eyes.
We've had our eyes and ears opened, haven't we? To an all five of the five senses experience, excluding only smell, touch.
Well, Mike was...
And taste. Taste and balance.
Mike was sat next to some teenage boys, so you might have got a bit of funk off the
Well, it was a teenage boy and I think a sub-teen. The sub-teen slept throughout the entire thing.
Are you serious?
Yeah. And his mother kept trying to prod him awake because he was clearly... Well, he's obviously sleeping through it. A week of wages. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no.
Oh my God.
Because it
was definitely very loud. There was no...
Well, the fact he was able to... I felt like he and I were kin in a way, because I can sleep through it, literally anything. And this kid is... understood how he was able to do it.
So was it the father of the family sleeping?
No, the youngest son. He looked like he must have been like 10 years old or something.
Slept through the whole
thing. He looked like a sort of big primary schooler.
Because there was a bit where, not to give too much away, but towards the end, they play Dancing Queen.
Yes.
And also, three beans were seen dancing.
It's true.
The first and last, possibly the last time that all three of us were dancing at the same time in the same place.
These beans are only flesh and blood.
Yeah. These beans are only flesh and blood, and we gave in at that point.
We had to, yeah.
But I did think, I wonder how embarrassed that teenager standing next to Mike will be.
Oh, yeah.
The thing of adults dancing around you when you're a teenager is so embarrassing.
Oh, it's gross.
Yeah.
Well, he was the older one who did stay awake. He regularly had his face in his hands and was rubbing his face vigorously as just to try and feel something different, I think. Their mother really wanted them to be on board, and they weren't. I did feel for her.
Oh. No, that's a shame. I feel like I'm not sure if I'm quite there yet, but I'm getting quite close to being at the point of not caring again and therefore dancing loads. Like, I'm almost at the point
I'm
sort of old enough to just not give a shit and really, really, really let loose. I'm not quite there, but I'm quite close, I think, now.
One of the things I did enjoy the most about the evening was seeing some sort of creaky boomers really, really going for it.
Yeah.
And reliving the 70s and early 80s.
There'll be a lot of people checking themselves into... A&E.
Oh, yeah.
Right there.
Well, that's part of Sebco's vision, isn't it? That's why...
It's part of Sebco's vision for this area. That's why there were people selling hips when they're in the merch store. There were hips being.
You can get a Freely left. You can get a Benny right.
That's right.
It's up to you.
You get sparkly ones, which will only apparently show up at... It will show up at airport security, apparently, the sparkles, which is a bit of fun when you're going on holiday.
So it's hard to know how to deal with this, but let's start by saying maybe each of us gives a one-sentence review...
Okay.
Of what we just saw, and maybe just a general impression. It's going to be quite hard.
I would say, for one sentence, batters you into submission.
That's good.
That's how I felt.
Well, okay.
The first half an hour, I felt uniquely stressed.
Oh, wow.
I found it very stressful.
Yeah.
And it was too much. And there was the whole Uncanny Valley thing. The eyes seemed dead to me.
Yeah. No, that's
the lips
really
were slightly out of sync. But then I thought, hang on, this is such a high-end production. Am I out of sync? what am I applauding when people are applauding?
Mike, can I just say now, just you were slightly out of sync.
I was out of sync.
But you seem to be okay again now.
Are you a hologram?
That's what we're all asking ourselves now.
And it was... I found it unsettling. I didn't know, like, when I was applauding, what was I applauding? Was I applauding a hologram? I decided when I was applauding the live band, because that was...
Yeah.
I could understand that. I could get behind that.
Well, do you know what? I think, before I get to my sentence...
Yeah.
I think that the reason the live band are there is so you've got someone to clap, right?
Yeah.
Because, and they did a really good job, and they were obviously very good musicians, but they don't sound wildly different from the record.
Yeah. Like, I couldn't work out if... Were we listening to... Just the live band, or was the singing from actual ABBA recordings?
So the singing, I think, was from the records. I mean,
yeah,
it's just
like the original.
It's just the vocals. Yeah.
It didn't sound like old.
But there were some backing vocals, or they were doing some stuff on microphones, the band.
There were three backing vocalists.
They were amazing. There is a bit in the middle where they let the band just does a cover.
Yeah.
Which was actually one of my favourite bits.
That was a good bit.
They were, the singers, I mean, just three of them, filled this massive hall just...
That moment felt a bit like it's a future society where robots and AI have taken over, and humans are kept as a kind of like a
curiosity.
Exactly. It's a bit of retro fun. Here are some actual humans that are sort of prisoners.
Well, that's it. The whole thing, the beginning in particular, felt quite sort of bread and circuses, and there was even to the point where there were people, members of staff towards the front that looked like they were just watching in case people were using cameras or recording devices.
Yeah.
But then periodically they'd stick their arms in the air and wave from side to side, and we all just obeyed like automatons.
Well, it was heavily, there were heavy dystopian vibes throughout.
Yeah. And there was also, I can't remember which song it was, there was a song where...
Oh, they played in the sound of everyone singing along?
Yes, that's true, I noticed that.
It sounded like literally everyone in the whole... The whole auditorium had suddenly decided to sing along at the same time, but it was too perfect.
It was Fernando.
And it was really unsettling.
It was Fernando.
That really unsettling moment.
You've crossed some sort of line there.
Yeah.
That feels a bit like when the Chinese Communist Party seed rain in the sky. Do you know what I mean? Like, it just feels unnatural.
They do.
Yeah. And they can stop it from raining and things. You know,
it was deeply, deeply unsettling, that bit. And I felt I was being manipulated at that point.
It's an insight into how fascism starts, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, because they could have done... What they wanted, thank God, with us, was for us to simply wave our arms from side to side.
And sing the chorus of Fernando.
But they could have got us to do literally anything.
Yeah.
They could have got us to invade Slovenia. And that would have been absolutely no problem at that moment.
We would have been raring to go. Yeah. It's true, because it is fascist in the sense that it unifies you with uplifting sort of positive messages from your
mythical national heroes.
National heroes and also evoking
a past
childhood.
That none of us experienced.
Yes, exactly. A simpler time.
Yeah.
But alongside that, so it's like a sort of a rally where most people are into it, but if you look carefully, there are black-clad young men and women.
Yeah.
With electrified batons, making sure that
removing
people who aren't up for it, and making sure you damn well know the bloody lyrics to Fernando, and you sing along,
which is like a sort of new national anthem in this kind of fascist
world.
So, Henry, what can you give us your one sentence?
So, it's very difficult. It's hard to do it in one sentence. I think what I foretold came true, which is. The whole experience was a bit like eating a hot meat sandwich for the first time, which I also did today.
Yeah.
Which is, if you haven't had any other hot meat sandwiches and you don't know what to compare it to, then someone suggests maybe you should dip it in gravy.
Mm.
You do dip it in gravy, but again, you feel like
you've lost control.
At that point, you feel like you've completely lost control. So
is what you're saying that because you've never seen anything like this before, you can't compare it to anything?
Yes. But so it's hard for me to... I feel that makes it hard for me to sort of assess the experience, but... I can tell you a few things. So I basically can't do it in a sentence. I'm ignoring the brief in the same way that Mike just did at length.
Okay, well, shall I do my one sentence?
Okay, you do your one sentence.
And then we can move on to your longer sort of theses.
Yeah.
I think my one sentence is, they must be stopped.
And of course, we don't know who they is. And that's one of them.
That's what's so clever.
That's what's so clever. And that's why they must be stopped. That's why it's so stopped. Urgent. And also why they can't be, but why they must be.
And I guess what I mean by that, although I did get over this feeling, but when it began for the first half, and maybe this is similar to Mike, I just felt like this is not right.
I felt
this shouldn't be happening.
Really?
We should be watching a real band, a different band, but a real one. And that we're clapping at them, and it's like clapping a movie. You know, it's
I wondered, would this be better if it was just a great ABBA tribute band singing really well, maybe with lots of lasers and all this kind of cool stuff? Because the lasers,
the lights amazing,
were brilliant.
The venue's amazing.
The design was very cool.
Yeah,
and there was a sort of fleet of dentist mirrors that were deployed in like really clever ways, reflecting light.
So you could see inside Bjorn's mouth,
and see they had immaculate dental health.
This is because fundamentally dental hygiene. Because we thought we were going to a concert, but we weren't at a concert.
Yes.
What we were at was a deification. Because they have conferred upon themselves the gift of immortality using holograms.
Yes, that's true.
And if there's any doubt, there's a bit where there's a quite a lengthy cartoon where there's a kid with a bowl cut.
I thought that was bullshit, by the way.
Who has a massive, like, weird fantasy journey.
Yeah.
Through a mystical, fantastical land, and it ends in him getting into a temple. And in the temple, he's merged with four other people and then greeted by the massive carved stone faces of ABBA, who are sort of presented as if they're, you know, like when you find ancient gods in a sci-fi movie.
Yeah, exactly. Like they pre-exist mankind.
Exactly.
It was also kind of quadron epic.
And at that point, I realized, we're at a deification.
It wasn't.
Yeah.
Just to explain that a bit, Mike, so most of the time you're watching the holograms singing ABBA songs.
Yeah.
And then behind them are big video screens where you see them more close up. Yeah. But then for two songs, they made us a kind of...
animated film?
Yeah, sort of Mysterious Cities of Gold style.
I like the idea of it, but it was just Omnibank sort of... Don't you think? It was just like generic mythic nothingness, I thought.
I just didn't like it.
Well, I thought it was well done.
Yeah. I think what it did was, though, that in a normal gig...
Yeah.
There's a kind of pace to gigs, aren't there, where they build up ahead of steam.
Yeah.
And they sort of, like, to use a phrase that doesn't come out of my mouth easily, they sort of start cooking. Do you know what I mean? Like,
You're right, that doesn't sit well in your mouth.
and there was a bit where I sort of began to forget that we were just watching a film. And there was a few songs in a row that were kind of bangers, and they had these cool, like, space outfits on.
Yes.
Yeah.
And for me, it kind of began to cook a bit. I was like, oh, this feels like a bit of a thing now. People are beginning to, like, sway a bit. And then whenever that happened, it would all go dark, and then they'd show us something weird, and then...
I think that broke it.
Right. The it didn't have the normal changed. Rhythm and science of a gig.
You're right, and the space outfits, they helped, didn't they? And they...
Because they were sexy.
They were, but they're also that very like, particularly sexy, where they kind of, on a sort of female pop star, they look really cool and wicked.
That's right.
But on a heavily bearded man, they look absolutely
On a heavily bearded CG man. Yeah.
So can we talk about the elephant in the room, really, which is kind of the uncanny.
Frida was being played by Melania Trump.
Okay.
The rest were holograms. In case you're wondering where Melania Trump's been, where you don't see her much.
So my take on the CG is that when they first came out and they were small holograms, I thought, oh, they're quite good.
Yeah.
And then there was a close-up and you go, oh, it's just a bit from a computer game.
Okay. Yeah.
And some of their faces, some of their faces stand up to being CGI better than others. So I think Benny, for some reason, looks quite human, even as a CGI Benny.
Is he the brunette
the bearded
man.
Guy? Yeah,
he's the pianist.
The pianist. Yeah, yeah, okay.
He somehow sort of that worked for me. I was outside of the uncanny valley, but whenever Frida came on stage,
Frida didn't look good.
She looked weird.
It wasn't rather.
Frida, and well, if the one that for me that was strange was Bjorn. I think they hadn't finished Bjorn. I don't know if Bjorn like hadn't turned up to enough sessions because there wasn't. His head was far too big. Like there wasn't enough neck, and his shoulders were too narrow. So I think they just hadn't like.
I think they ran out of time, hadn't they?
Hadn't done the full width of. It looked physically impossible.
Well, he also looked quite sweaty a lot of the time.
Yeah, yeah, which I'm sure you could deal with. Surely.
What I felt was, I thought the beginning was really good, basically, before it started, essentially. So like the
you walk into the cool room.
You walk into the nice cool room. It's quite a sort of futuristic, cool shaped room. It feels quite modular and quite IKEA-ish.
Yeah.
but then there was this like I don't know, just they built and built and built quite slowly to that first song. And I actually thought the first song was really good. I was on board with it.
It's a good song.
It's one I don't know.
The Visitors. It's my favourite album.
That was great.
It's about nuclear paranoia.
Okay.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. Okay. So I really like that. But basically, I think what we're going to do is slightly blow the cover on what actually happens in Abba Voyage.
Okay.
Okay, even though they asked us not to do that.
They did.
Yeah.
But I think we kind of have anyway.
Yeah.
So then the four of them appear... And I don't actually know how they've done that. They're on some sort of screen, but it looks 3D. It's kind of quite cool when they're small.
Yeah.
When you're looking at them
as on the stage.
Yeah. Yes, which I found confusing, particularly after beforehand you were saying that there might be dancers wrapped in tinfoil. And I was trying to work out how much truth there might be in that statement.
Yeah, it's true. It didn't turn out to be a useful...
yardstick. No.
Yardstick. So that was fine. They were small in the distance on the stage. It was kind of uncanny, but in a kind of cool way.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
The there was something very 3D about them. I guess they were on some kind of screen, but there was like a bit of trickery with the lighting and stuff. Yeah. So it felt like they were in a 3D space, and all the sequins and stuff were shining on them, and it seemed to be reacting to the light, the spotlights and stuff. I thought actually this is kind of like cool and weird, and like it kind of works, and it's like kind of like they're there but they're not, and that's kind of cool in its own right in some way. I was liking it, and then essentially what you've both said, then what happens is it all basically, imagine the sound of a toilet flushing. That sound. That's what effectively happens when the big screens then light up as if you're at a gig and the band are small on stage and around them the screens are showing them live up close. And as soon as the big screens come on, as you both said, it's basically you're watching the Polar Express.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's uncanny valley. Yeah. It's like they've got it really close, but for some reason, 99.9% accurate. For some reason in the human mind, I don't know why we've evolved to be able to detect 0.01 off cyborgs of humans. Because you know what I mean? We've evolved that.
I was thinking about Blade Runner from the as soon as that happened.
Blade Runner.
Yeah.
And it's like, but also
it's particularly when they smiled. When they smile at the dark black,
it's the black empty
eyes. It's the
black eyes that you very rarely see on a human being outside of my face. It was kind of like I was in. If you imagine I was all of ABBA, it was that soul destroying. because when it was the worst was the slow songs.
Yes,
that then it's like I am staring into the digi void, the digi death of a dead face.
Because you're right. Because some of the songs, weirdly, it kind of started to work for me somehow. Like the more dancey ones, they're moving a bit more, and it's like you can't really look at their face quite so much.
Yeah, yeah.
But any kind of ballad,
the dancey ones suited the design as well. When they were, there was a sort of truck on one, which one they went a bit Tron-y.
The Tron.
There was sort of like Tron laser pyramids, and that was quite. It all worked. Made sense.
But I still wished we were watching a real band with this light setup.
Yeah.
Or I would have been, to be honest, I would have been happy not having the big screens. I think it was a kind of like a freaky, weird, cool experience. I thought looking at them on as small figures in the distance, because they really did look kind of real and like they were in a 3D space.
I thought I'd have preferred to just listen to the best of ABBA in my car,
where the acoustics are superb. Yeah,
you can pull over and get against us,
and at my leisure.
Shoes on or off?
Shoes off.
Sequins on. In driver's seat?
I put the driver's seat in
back
suit.
All reclined back and
all the way back and driving at the same time.
And driving.
Yeah.
So you're getting somewhere.
That's why I'm barefoot, so I can feel the steering wheel properly. That's the way to experience it.
And so then I began to find it a bit tedious, basically. Yep. Once the kind of novelty wears off and then it's not really hitting because they're not real. But then they got it back for me at the end, but I think that's because they saved some bangers.
The songs were still bangers.
They did get me the bangers at the end, and we did. Was it Dancing Queen, wasn't it? When we all stood up and danced, I did feel a genuine urge to get up.
That's my favourite ABBA song. I've realised that tonight. I've always thought it was. I mean, it's not an original choice.
But there was a reaction from the audience to that as well. It wasn't the same as when they made it sound like everyone in the audience was singing. It was a genuine reaction.
Yeah.
But then there was a very strange thing at the very end. I don't know if. Maybe this is leaping ahead too much.
Well, we could talk about the bits where ABBA speak to the audience. We haven't mentioned that.
Yeah, those were. Those uncanny valleys.
I know it's hard for Henry to talk about this because very obviously, they got the old script doctor in, and Henry didn't like to tell us it was him. But those were some
some real pack of bangers.
There were some real pack of bangers in those.
those jokes.
There were some gags, weren't there?
Yeah.
And In fact, at one point there was a fake audience reaction.
Was there?
It was the bit where he went and bet the blonde guy. Who's he? Benny.
The piano guy or the
guitar non-piano guy.
Yeah, that's Bjorn.
Bjorn. There was a bit where Bjorn said, "So this reminds me of when I met my wife."
I can only do German. It's the closest I can do. It's just very, very good German. You have to accept.
Yeah, for sure.
But he does a bit where he goes, "Yes, when we wrote this song, I was talking to a lady and I fell in love with her. Oh, I think I was married at the time. Oh, no, no. And maybe I wasn't married. Oh, no. And maybe I was married." Do you remember that?
Yeah.
And then there was a reaction in the audience and he went, oh, no, stop it. Some of you are thinking that I wasn't married or I was married. I've forgotten.
Do you remember?
Yeah.
I think that was another bogus audience reaction. Definitely.
Yeah. No, I can imagine.
Which they planted in, which is so 1984.
Yeah. There's a bit, the joke that landed the flattest, I think, was Benny sort of comes out and does a few jokes, I can't remember what they were, and then he sits at the piano and he goes, "Okay, what song do you want me to play? This one?" Then he played the opening bars to EastEnders.
EastEnders theme tune.
Was that EastEnders?
No one seemed to realise. Like,
no, I didn't realise it was EastEnders. It was so out of context, I didn't realise it was EastEnders.
Because then people go, "Oh, I don't know this other song."
Yeah, I was thinking that, yeah. So I was thinking I do know this episode, but I forgot which one it is because I knew the tune. So I assumed it was an episode.
I think that's meant to be a huge gag, but it gets nothing.
No,
and then he just starts playing something else.
Yeah, that was
it's a tough gig writing for that. I'd say whoever it was that had to do it. So what I mean is don't have too much to go. Yeah.
Go on, I agree, but I don't think I'd be shooting for humour if I was writing for some avatars.
You don't
I think
they need were asked to gag it up. Do you with those guys? You don't necessarily. It's not the expectation, is it? It's not.
No.
Those bits weren't the worst because at least you were hearing the voices of some real people.
You were hearing the voices of a 75-year-old coming out with the face of a 25-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, that's
true. Did you find that weird?
Hugely weird. Yeah. And then weird again when they came out at the very end. And it was them, but it wasn't them.
That was really weird.
It was the real them, but it was the holograms of the real them.
Yeah, exactly.
So, doing a final
bow. So it was like, the veil has dropped to reveal another veil. Which veil was more truthful? Oh, God.
There's also a very strange thing that the very, very final song, the holograms stop even pretending to play.
But the piano is still going.
The piano and the guitar are still going and the singing is still going. But the holograms have all stopped and started.
But they were never playing in the first place, so it's like...
Exactly.
Hang on a minute.
Because I feel like I'd spent an hour and a half really willing myself to take part and suspend disbelief.
Yeah.
And I put quite a lot of work in. I was quite tired. I was quite close to a migraine.
Yeah.
And at that point, they give up. Fuck off. You're fucking plugged in. Do you know what I mean? You can keep going all night.
It's true. That was a very weird moment.
The Uncanny Valley bit. What we mean by that is the CG. Essentially, you're looking at a CG... 3D CG, ABBA. I was hoping it would have been BGs would have been good, but it wasn't. It just wasn't the BGs.
No,
but
it will be.
It will be, won't it? 3D CD BGs.
It's coming.
3D CG BGs.
Yeah,
that's gonna be massive.
On CBBC.
What it reminded me of. So the other thing is, I'm surprised none of you have asked me about this. I used to be a 3D animator.
Oh, of course.
And it really brought back Ananova to me.
They did look like Ananova.
They looked like Ananova.
Yeah.
And what it reminded me of was the people doing that CG of Benny and Bjorn and Frida and...
Agnetha.
They would have thought, and I've been in that position of that animator, they'd have thought, bloody hell, we've nailed... This is so close to being real. There's no way, but I know what happens if you become snow blind. Like, I was staring at Ananova for so long, I thought that was a normal sized bottom. To give a newsreader. I knew that's what's happened. They're looking at things, they think this is real, they've tried so hard. But the fact is, when you're looking at something every day, animating it, you don't realize that just to a person in the street, you're like, that's not normal. So that's not a human being. It's
And they've just had an email from Andy Serkis saying he won't do another round of dancing. So
you got me. It was a one.
It was a one and done.
It was a one and done. Because essentially, but I think they've done quite a good job until now of not letting the cat out of the bag. So, in terms of what it actually is, which is it isn't actually a cat, it's a CG cat that doesn't look like a cat.
I think that why people go to this, or certainly why I wanted to go, and why I'm kind of glad I went, is because you just want to see what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
They've created this like mystique of like, what is it?
Yeah.
And I'm sort of glad I have seen it for that reason.
Yeah. But it's animation at the level of on computer games, the little films you get in computer games. You watch Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah.
And there's a scene where it's like, hey, you jail selling drugs around my corner. And it's that.
And then Benny comes in.
Ben, we had a little disagreement about a certain song on as we were walking out.
Should we
play that out?
Yeah, okay. So one of my impressions from the show. So I really like ABBA. Put that out there. Like the songs.
I like ABBA.
In general, I think they're really good.
Mike, do you like ABBA?
Take it or leave it.
Sure.
All right. So poor Mike. He was always onto a loser tonight. Yeah.
But I don't think all the songs are good by any means.
Yeah.
Some are better than others. But I think Thank You for the Music is the worst song ever written.
That's interesting. I don't... I don't like it. I think if that had come on at a discotheque in my younger years, I'd be going to the bar to get some drinks in.
It's a slow one. That's because when Kissing was happening, you knew you had to go.
Well, yeah. Can't get my pork scratching.
To try and entice a lady.
Exactly. So I think Thank You for the Music is actually a really good song. I was it did strike me as quite an unusual song because it's quite gutsy in a way, because she's basically saying, I'm really brilliant and talented.
Yeah.
Yes. And I've got lovely blonde hair.
And I have lovely blonde hair.
In case you hadn't noticed.
Because what's that line about the hair?
She's the girl with the golden hair.
I'd be quite embarrassing that, even if I was the girl with the golden hair.
But I actually think, you know what I thought? I thought it's 2025, we should be grateful for things. And what's wrong with that? Do you know what I mean? I thought
Is this a hair thing?
It's not just a hair thing. I thought, I don't know, like, she is really good at singing and they are really good. I thought it was quite nice. It's like going, I'm really, but she starts off by saying, I'm a little bit of a bore.
If I tell you a joke, it will be a shit one.
Exactly.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah. So she's basically.
She's saying, I've got my faults, but I can sing and I've got lovely golden hair.
Yeah.
But then who's she thanking?
That's the thing. She never says who she's thanking. Whether it's she's thanking thank you for the music,
Bjorn, Benny,
the Quaddons.
I think it's straight back to the Quaddons.
It probably is the Quaddons.
Those ancient Quaddon rhythms that still echo throughout the galaxy.
I don't mind that song. I think it's quite gutsy, and she pulls it off.
Okay. Any songs that select for you, Mike, has been particularly good or particularly ropey?
Dancing Queen was up. Which one was the Tron one? Because the Tron one I did enjoy.
I can't remember what song it was.
No, it was good though. That was
it
wasn't that.
Gimme a Man After Midnight.
Wasn't that? I don't think was it.
I think they did do Gimme a Man After Midnight in their Tron stuff.
In the Saxon
Tron.
There,
okay.
I think so. Yeah, and that was I enjoyed that. And by that time I had been beaten into submission. I'd been one round and I was enjoying myself. And I had submitted to the deification thing, and I was part of the cult, part of the group.
Yeah.
One I really liked was What's the Name of the Game?
Yes.
Yes, that's a good one.
That's a great song.
Yeah.
The songs are solid.
Of course they are.
Yes.
Solid as heck. So just hearing the songs really loud was quite good. It's very sci-fi. It's very YA. It reminds me of things like The Hunger Games and those sorts of things. Because there was a point towards the end where I imagined it feels a bit like we're all living thousands of feet underground.
Yeah.
The surface of Earth has been ravaged centuries ago.
But we're inside the tungsten dome.
By nuclear apocalypse. Okay. We're now living in the tungsten dome.
Yeah.
Which will be the name of the series, Living in the Tungsten Dome. And these are the events that we do every so often.
Yeah.
The what?
Brought to you by Big Tungsten.
Brought to you by Big Tungsten. Mm. And it felt like that. It felt like this is some sort of, we're living in a sort of subterranean society, and we have memories of culture, memories of Bjorn, and we get together and we remember.
Yeah.
But actually, we're now generations have passed, so that actually we don't remember.
Yeah,
it's a false memory.
Yeah. And it's like, we have run out of glucose cubes. We must pacify the people to stop the revolt.
That's all I mean.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, it did feel like a nuclear apocalypse had happened, because there was a... One of the songs, the thing behind them was like a huge nuclear sun.
That's true, yeah.
That was slowly eclipsed.
The sun itself was dying.
Yeah, and it felt like the world had died. We were deep underground, and this was what was left of human culture, and we were just keeping it alive by watching a video.
Yes, all that remains, all that could be salvaged.
And all men are called Bjorn or Benny, and all women are called Agnetha or Frida.
Yes.
Yeah.
You must choose on your 18th birthday.
Yeah.
Only Bjorns can see the light. But only Bennies can eat the glucose. I guess final thoughts. Yeah, it's a tricky one.
I'm definitely glad I came.
Yeah, me too.
Like you. Yeah, I'm pleased to have seen it. I don't... I bumped into someone who has been four times just now on the way out.
Bloody hell. They've eaten the glucose cubes.
And Alistair Campbell has famously been... dozens, I'm going to say, scores of times.
Very odd.
One thing I wondered was what the difference in experience between where we were sat in the stand versus being in the kind of dancey mosh pit, standing bit. But then I looked down and most of the time people in the standing up bit were just milling about and it's a bit kind of impassive. So
yes, and occasionally they'd get hit by a very powerful laser and then they'd be a bit sort of confused and people around them would...
I think it was a bit like Squid Game in that you could sense people were sometimes being taken out with lasers. not physically killed, but simply rendered mentally quiet.
Or everything was wiped.
Yeah, everything was completely wiped. Yeah, there were a lot of lasers going on.
And so the lights were incredible, the venue's incredible.
Yeah.
I'm glad I saw it. I think just because it's a fun thing to see.
Yeah.
I think I would give it 6.75 out of 10, but with a very big font.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are they of equal font, the 6.75 and the 10, or is the 10 a smaller font? Or
The 10 is a normal-sized font, so somewhere between 10 and 12.
Yeah.
But the 6.5 is like maybe like 20.
Yeah, okay.
25. So it feels like it deserves something big, but not numerically big enough to get to 7.
The thing that I'm worried about now is that, not worried, but like it's going to be annoying if this is the future and there's loads of this. And
yes. It's an interesting experiment.
Yeah.
I'm glad I've seen the experiment. But it's that first half hour I keep thinking about that was not only, it wasn't just stressful. It was leaving me cold, but so cold.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, it's the CG. Once they can get the CG up to speed. You know, if what we were looking at on those screens was completely realistic and real, I mean, I wondered if they could have just used old footage. Because there's one bit where they showed old footage, which was actually really nice to see them as living, breathing humans.
Yeah. But it also served to show how robotic the CGI had learned.
Underlined how.
Because suddenly they had light in their eyes and they kind of...
Yeah.
But there's going to be more of this, right? There'll be Led Zeppelin.
There's bound to be, surely. They've got to be queuing up, haven't they?
Yeah, I think they need to keep working on the technology and making it better. I felt, for example, that when they were on the stage, and we were looking at them small on the stage, that was when it was at its best, but they were very much like trapped in a sort of 2D plane. They couldn't really come forwards and backwards very much.
Yes.
They were kind of going left and right.
I sort of feel like I don't want them to master it somehow.
I'm picturing a cubic television, essentially.
Yeah.
With four, well, how many sides are there on a cube? Between four and six, isn't it?
that you place on top of your head?
No, that are placed on the stage with wheels.
Yes.
And then they can walk out into the audience along a large kind of pier that extends into the crowd like Beyonce and people do. Yeah.
And maybe even crowd surf.
And maybe even crowd surf.
But the experience of the crowd is that you're holding up a very heavy glass cube.
It's extremely expensive. And you will be liable if you crack it.
Or is it things like, is it worth thinking about whether you can project onto a jelly mold? So like jelly, you know, like so it'd have that kind of organic wobble to it.
Okay.
The jelly mold's in the shape of ABBA.
For less pert pop stars.
Yeah. For Demi's Roux sauces.
Yeah, because who will be next? I think it's going to be Elvis, right?
Ooh. Well, there's actually... Have you seen Blade Runner 2?
Yeah.
There's a kind of extended scene where there's a kind of CG Elvis.
Oh, really?
Singing on stage. Do you remember that?
When
they go to Vegas. Is it Vegas? Or? Yeah, that sort of work. It also works for... Maybe it works better for people like Elvis and ABBA who are very dressed up and artificial in their kind of...
And sequiny. Yeah.
In their kind of look.
Yeah, it's not going to work for like...
Oasis.
Oh, God, you know who could bloody slam dunk for? It's bloody Gorillaz.
Oh, yeah.
Slam dunk.
See, that would be fair enough.
That would make sense.
Yeah, that would make big sense.
That would be fully justified artistically, wouldn't it, for the Gorillaz to do
or
it.
Or David Gray.
Or David Gray, the guy who did White Mamba.
Babylon.
Yeah.
Well, I think that was a good idea to go. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm glad we went.
Yes, that was good.
I'm glad we went.
And I wouldn't want to put people off from going.
No.
It's 6.75 big font.
I agree. I would say 6.75 big font.
That's about right. Yeah.
Let's go and explore the rest of Sebco's vision for the future of London. We are currently in a kind of patch of wasteland.
There are. It's getting dark. There's no one here. Which, when you are in one of the biggest cities in the world, is
it's quite worrying.
It is concerning.
There is a large quad on news agents.
Yes, there is.
That building is very futuristic. Futuro-fascist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's very much Ministry of Information Control, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's go in there and sign up.
Yeah.
That's it.